Mid base, second line from the top. It's basically a completely new piece of Gemara, except the only thing connection before was the Gemara asked the question, from where do we learn that you have to mark off graves that people should know that it's Tomei, that they shouldn't come close to it? So in connection to this, the Gemara continues. And the Gemara says like this, Tana Rabban Rabbanan learned. Hey, I'm mid base. Yeah, 10, page 10. Tana Rabban Rabban learned. Now, when the Gemara said before that you have to mark graves, it's obviously graves that are able to convey tumah in a way of a tent. Meaning as follows, and this is relevant for this Gemara coming up now. There are certain tumah that you can only move around by touching. Certain type of tumah you can even convey, meaning spread it, with a tent. Then, like we learned already, if you're in the same room with a dead body, everything in the room becomes tummy. So what are we afraid of when it comes to a grave? If you don't mark a grave, then a person might end up walking close to a grave and end up being under the same tent, whether it's a tree branch or whatever it is, as a grave. They might be carrying things at the base of Migdosh, they may become tummy. They might not know about it even. Okay? So therefore, what the Gemara is going to explain now, you only have to mark graves that carry tumah with a tent. But if the only way you can carry the tumah is by touching it, then you don't have to mark it. Because when you get there, you're going to see that it's tummy. You're not going to touch it if you don't see what, you know, you're going to watch where you're walking.
Maybe you don't see it. And that's why they need to mark it.
Okay, that's what we're going to see in the Gemara now. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned. Hey, Mitztayin, you don't need to make a marker over a grave. Layakazayis min ames. Not if it's an olive.
Wow.
Page 10.
I know, line.
Second line from the top. Oh. Not on a kazayis of a mess if there's only a kazayis of a dead body, meaning 1 ounce. V'lay al etzim keseira, or nor on a bone the size of a barley grain. V'lay al dover shein a metama ba'il, nor for anything else that does not become tummy with the roof. Okay? And like we said, because the whole purpose of marking the grave is if the person should become tummy without knowing about it. Aval mitzayin al shidra, but for the spinal column or gulgalus or the skull of a corpse, arev binyan, v'arev minyan ames, whether it's the majority of the body of a person or the majority of the size of the dead person, then you need to make a marker over the grave. Why? Because all these things transmit tumah through a roof. So therefore, the ultimate purpose of marking a grave, as far as the Gemara over here is concerned, it needs to be done that you shouldn't be able to become tumah walking under the same covering as these impure things. So then you have to mark it. But ve'mitzayin alav adois, you don't have to make a marker when it's publicly known that there's a tumah there. Because if everybody knows there's a tumah physically, what the Gemara means, if it's a cemetery, you don't need to make markers. Because everybody knows a cemetery is a place of tumah. So what do you need a marker for? Everybody knows. But like we said, in the olden times, everybody would get buried in anywhere. Not only in cemeteries were people buried, but people were buried all over. So, for instance, many times if you find a dead body where, you know, sometimes they acquire the place where they're dead. So you have to bury them where they are. So in places of the unknown, which is carrying tumah through a oil, through a tent, through a roof, over there you have to mark it. But something that everybody knows is tummy, what's the purpose of marking a cemetery? Everybody's going to stay away from it anyway. What? Right.
Why would you bury him there and not bury him, but take him to a cemetery? What's the din again of a mes mitzvah?
Mes mitzvah is... It's only mes mitzvah. It didn't have a kaddish also sometimes. Because the fact that the person died there, yeah, that's their place in life, so to speak. Well, in death. That's where you have to bury them.
So
today's not done b'chal like that, because today it's because of all these shoshes of tumah, whatever.
In the old days, it might have taken a week before they take it to cemetery.
Could be whatever.
Far away.
That's the reason why?
Could be.
Could be. I don't know. Now, it says, Ve'ela in Asreikis, these are places of questionable tumah that you have to mark. What are the places? It says, Svaches, branchy canopies, Prois, things that are protruding, and a Besa Pras. Now, the Gemara is soon going to discuss what is the definition of Besa Pras. We don't know what. The Gemara is going to say basically there's three interpretations of what Besa Pras is. But basically, at all these types of places, because there's a doubt, therefore you need to mark it. Okay, and the Gemara is going to explain all these details. Number one, another din, Emamidim Tziyim Bimkem Tumah. You don't place a marker directly over the location of the tumah. Because by the time the guy gets there, it's going to be too late. You have to warn him before not to come to the place. If you put a marker directly over the grave, so by the time he gets there, he touched it already. I mean, he covered it or whatever, it's too late. Why? He said, Shalei lahafzid asataris, not to waste tohar articles. Meaning, like we said, if a guy's not going to realize until too late that he became tamei, that means everything that he's carrying that's tahar, he has to burn. If it's like truma, hegdish, anything like that, he's going to have to burn. So we don't want to ruin all these tahar-dika things. So we make the marker a little bit before the grave. But, a marchi can see him in mokim tuma. But you don't make it too far either. You don't make it too close. You don't make it too far. Why not too far? Shle lahafsid is Eretz Yisrael, not to lose Eretz Yisrael. Because what are you basically going to be doing? You're going to make Eretz Yisrael tummy when you don't have to. In other words, if you're going to make the marker, let's say 30 feet away from the grave, so those 30 feet, you're making tummy when it doesn't have to be tummy. Right? That's basically what you're saying. It places tummy, beware. So the Gemara says like this. There's a few, the Gemara is going to explain more details, but the simple guidelines of the Gemara is very simple. We need to mark places that are possible tumah, meaning where people are not definitely knowing that it's tumah. You have to cover it, but you only have to make a marker. I mean, on places which carry tumah ba'il with a covering, only on doubtful ones, not indefinite tumas, because then everybody knows. And when you mark it, you have to mark it a little bit away, but not too far away. The Gemara doesn't say the exact measurements, but the Gemara says not too close and not too far. The Gemara doesn't say. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so that's basically the end of this din. So basically, the Gemara said a statement before, you don't need to mark a kezias from a dead body. That means a kezias is an ounce. An ounce of meat of a dead body, the Gemara's implication is, does not carry tumah through ohel, through roof, so therefore you don't have to mark it. So the Gemara asks, the kezias min ames ein metama v'oil? Are you telling me that a kezias from a dead body is not metama with oil? For Tananya, or Tanya, we learned in the Mishnah, these are the various things that transmit tumah by way of oil, and one of them is kezias min ames. One is a kezias of a dead body. So what do you see from here? That a kezias does carry tumah through oil. So why does the Gemara say here you don't have to mark it?
Close.
Amen Apapa is speaking like this. Hacha b'kezayis mitzumtum askinen. Your answer was pretty good, by the way. It says, when our Mishnah says, you don't have to mark it, is speaking exactly a kezayis. Then you don't have to mark it. Why? Because very soon it's going to shrink. When it decomposes, it shrinks. So now you're not going to have a kezayis anymore. You're right. Kezayis of a mace does carry tumah ba'oil. I said, so why does the Braisa say we don't have to mark it? Because it's speaking in a case when it's exactly a kezayis. And the Gemara says, the sof mechzer chaser, at the end, the bottom line is going to get less than a kezayis. So why? So the Gemara is like, so what do you care if you mark it? Mark it anyway, who cares? Gemara says, no. Mutav. Yisrifu olav truma v'kotchim lefisha. It's better to burn kachim temporarily for a short period of time, vayisrafu olav le'elam, not to burn it forever. Meaning like this. What an interesting perspective. This kazayis min ames. Don't mark. Why? Because when, let's say a guy comes right now and covers it. Granted, we're going to burn the kachim. Granted, we're going to burn the kachim. That doesn't, if you marked it, it wouldn't have had to burn it. But this one time, we're going to have to burn it. But if you mark it as tamei, that means any guy that carries kachim a month from now, 2 months from now, and sees the marker, and by mistake covered it, they're going to burn kachim. The problem is, by then, there's no kezayis anymore. So you shouldn't burn kachim, because it doesn't carry tumah. And you're going to end up forever burning kachim as long as the marker is there. So the Gemara says, it's better to burn kachim temporarily for a few minutes, for a day, rather than burn it forever when you shouldn't. In other words, right now there's a kezayis. Right now, oil makes a tumah. So right now, if you don't mark it, what's going to happen? A guy might come and cover it, and they'll say, oh, wait, there's a dead body here, a bone, a piece of meat. I'm going to burn kachim. Okay, so we burn kachim. But if you mark it, you're going to make it worse. Because if you're going to mark it, every time a guy will come over that marker, he's going to burn kachim. And the truth is, you don't have to. Because there's no kezayis left to decompose.
What do you mean it comes and covers it? If he hovers over it, it becomes like a tent? And
yeah.
You don't necessarily need a tent over you.
No, he himself tents it.
He becomes a tent.
Yeah. I'll give you a practical example in today's Chabad world. Yeah? When they built the oil for the Friedrich Rebbe, there's a whole argument in Halacha, it's based on the Gemara and Ksubis, with a Taisvis, with that. A lot of stuff written on this. Do the grades of Tzaddikim make you Tomei or not? Okay? There's a grave of a Tzaddik, because the Gemara says, Tzaddikim, even when they're dead, are called alive. So the Gemara says at the end of Ksubis, Mishemeis Rebbe, the Gemara discusses the end of Ksubis, the death of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. So the Gemara says, when the day Rabbi died, Batla Kuhuna. The Gemara says, Batla Kuhuna. Kuhuna became non-existent.
What does that mean?
So a lot of the Rishonim and the Gemara learn that it means that day they allowed all the Kayanim to go to the funeral. Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudan Nasi is not Metame. Over there on the side in Taisus, Reb Chaim HaKoyen, it's one of the people from Taisus, Reb Chaim HaKoyen said, if I would have been there when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have gone to the funeral. That's what he says. So that's a source that Chassidim, not in Chabad, but Chassidim in the world use, that Kibre Tzadikim are not Metama. Okay? And there's a whole tshuva in the Alter Rebbe's brother, Sheiris Yehuda, there's a whole tshuva about it. The pearl, when the Rebbe built the oil for the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe built the oil in a way that there's nothing over it. Whoever goes to the oil knows there's no trees over it.
What's the oil?
Oil is the grave of the previous Rebbe and the Rebbe. Okay. Now there's no, the whole place is enclosed in a room, right? There's walls all around. So it separates the mechitza from all the other graves. And there's no trees overhead, because a kohen cannot go under a tree that's hovering over a cemetery. If you have a cemetery with a wall even, okay, and there's a tree, let's say outside the cemetery, but the branches go over the graves and over the street, correct? A kohen is not allowed to walk under that tree, because he's under the same tent as the tent which is covering the graves. So it's making him tamei. If he goes in the car, it's not a problem because the car is a mechitza. But for a kohen to walk outside the cemetery, under a tree, is forbidden. It's biblically forbidden. Especially if it's a Jew. A guy is questionable. But if there's a Jewish cemetery, you for sure can't. So the Rebbe made the oil in a way like this. Whoever was by the oil knows, around the graves is this white wall, which is ten tefachim, which is a mechitza. That's where Kayanim could go into the oil. Okay? How do they get the oil through the rest of the cemeteries that he made those boxes that he actually, a walking mechitza, that the Gemara says is considered a mechitza. So once you come into the oil though, once you come into the oil, there's nothing overhanging, and there's a mechitza all around the graves. So therefore, it's no problem for a kohen to stand there.
Without the box.
Right, without the box. Mm-hmm. Once you're in the oil, there's no problem. The problem is, normally you read your paper, the pan, the pidyon, and then you rip it up and you put it over the grave. A kohen can't put his hand over the grave. Because he's oil on the mess. So what they, either they, which is disrespectful, or they usually hand it to somebody to put it in. And they just don't do it themselves. They don't. So there's the concept of oil, of a tent, that for a kohen can make your tummy. So even if you bend over a grave, you become tummy. Today it's only relevant to kohenim. Because kohenim are not allowed to become tummy. In time of the Beis HaMikdash, should apply to every Jew. If you were tummy, you couldn't eat kachim, you couldn't go into the Beis HaMikdash, you know, all the dinim applied. So the Gemara says, if there's exactly a kezayis min ames, right now, it can make you tummy if you lean over it. Because of oil. So right now, if you don't mark it, what's the problem? You're not going to know there's meat there, and you're going to bend over it, and you're going to have to burn kachim. So Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. Why? That's better than the alternative. Because if you mark the grave, and people are going to think that the grave is tamei, but after it shrinks, there's not a kezayis anymore. So oil does not make a tamei. You're going to think it's tamei, because you see a marker there. You're going to burn kachim, and you really didn't have to. And that's long-term stuff. So Gemara says it's better this way than that way.
So the Rebbe built this ohel because it doesn't hold like the ending of Masechet Ketubot, like Tosfot?
Because they're Machmed. There's a whole long tshuva now. The Rebbe's brother, he should be Machmed. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe wanted to, you know, no questions. According to all opinions, it's not a problem. What?
None of the other kibbutz tzaddikim have that.
Huh?
None of the do they have the other tzaddikim? Do they have a 10-foot mechitza? I mean, 10-foot.
10-foot mechitza. In Eretz Yisrael, you mean?
Yeah, I'm saying.
I don't know what the kohenim do. By Maris and Machpelah, it's not a shaila.
That's way under.
Because it's way under. So there's anyway, you're on top of the. But other kibbutz tzaddikim, I don't know what they do. By Maron, I don't know what they do. By a lot of these places, you don't mamish go. You're distant away from the grave. You're not mamish by the grave.
A lot of times, you see that they have like many feet of plaster over it.
Right.
But that's not going to make a mechitza because it's still.
It depends. Again, it's so hard to say. It depends how it's made. In fact, there's a whole question, can a kohen fly in a plane to Israel?
Why?
Because a lot of times they transport dead bodies in the cargo.
But wouldn't they know that?
How's a kohen supposed to know if there's a dead body? You think you come to the desk, excuse me, is there a dead body on the plane? But in many places, there's a din. Because we learned before in the Gemara, if you have a dead body in this room, okay, so everything in this room is tummy. But the second floor isn't tummy. Providing there's an empty space of a tefach between the dead body and the ceiling. But if the room, let's say, is full to the top, and there's a dead body in the room, then the tumah keeps going up through the roof. So in the cargo, basically, besides the fact it's a suffix and you know, whatever. But a lot of times, there's basically, the cargo is in a floor underneath the plane. And there's usually a space between the coffin and the roof, so the tumah stops at the roof. And
what about the ventilation going off?
And there needs to be an opening more than that. In addition to that, you have the same shaila, by the way, with hospitals. Can a kohen go into Cedars? Or any hospital for that matter. So there are doors, you have to know which doors, Cedars, the kohen figured it out, of which doors you can go into, there's not a problem. Because it has to do with the morgue, and where the morgue is, and the walls, and the ceilings, and the roofs, and the, you know, because there's dead bodies in the morgue.
How would the kohen know that?
So I'm saying you have to assume that there are, and therefore if there are ways it's not connected to the morgue, it's, you know, then you can go.
In New York they work, you know, my mind is
there. Certain hospitals, the Frum hospitals, they did.
The planes from low floor, top of floor, they have stairways, they have elevators.
No. Yeah, but there's a lot of machitzas there along the way.
And an airplane can never attend, it's too high, is there some roof to attend? An airplane itself couldn't make a...
Why not?
No, I don't know, could it? I mean, you're staying under an airplane?
If you have a dead body... No, when a plane flies over a cemetery, it's not a problem, because the floor of the plane is the machitza. Yeah. Okay.
The plane is a tent top.
What? Yeah, why not? It's a machitza wall. Okay. So anyway, the Gemara came to the conclusion that... okay, then it says, V'eile ein asfekis, these are the doubtful things that you have to make marks on. Asvaches uprois, like you said, branchy canopies and protrusions and base of pras. So the Gemara explains now each one what they mean. Svaches, what does svaches mean? Ilan amesech ala aretz, a tree that overhangs the ground. So again, it's a shailav, it's a suffix, basically. Perois, what is perois? Avon and pruis a yetzim and a gather protruding stones that extend from a wall. So again, because of this, what?
Okay,
5b2, second column. Kidnan, what? Schochis. Kabir says schochis. But schochis, ilan amesach ala oretz, it's like schach, no, that hangs over the ground. Perois are avonim that protrude from the wall. Beis pras. What is the definition of beis pras? I told you soon the Gemara is going to say three meanings of it. But right now the Gemara says, what does beis pras mean? Beis pras basically, in the general rule of it, a place which is a suffix if there's tumah there. Now what's the suffix? Like it says in the Mishnah, if somebody plows over a grave, he makes it into a beis pras. Meaning like this. In the olden times, they didn't have coffins. Even in Israel today, they don't bury you in coffins. They bury you as it is in the ground. So what happens, and like we said, nobody knows where cemeteries were in those days. You know, people were buried all over the place. What happens if there was a grave and you plowed the field? So what happens when you plow the field? The plow rips apart the dead body. And pieces fly all over the place. Okay, so now there's a suffix. Is there enough of a mess now to make tummy with oil or not? So that's a suffix. So because base of pras is a suffix, so Gemara says that you have to mark. But a place which is definitely a cemetery, that you don't have to mark, because everybody knows it's tummy and you're going to keep away from it. So the Gemara asks, base of pras mi metama ba'il? Basically what the Gemara is saying is, that a base of pras is metama ba'il. That's why you have to mark it. Right? And it's not a vadi, it's a suffix. So because it's a suffix, you have to mark it. So the Gemara asks, but does a beis pras make tumah with oil? V'amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel says, menafech odam beis pras v'heilich. The Gemara is speaking, this din of Shmuel is speaking, a guy had to go bring the carbon Pesach. That's the case the Gemara is talking about. A guy had to go be makriv his carbon Pesach. And he has to take the behemoth to Yerushalayim. Okay? Now he's walking through a field that maybe there's a grave there. So Shmuel says, what can you do? You watch where you're walking, and anything that you see, you blow away, and you keep walking. So what do you see from there? That the only tumah you can get is by touching the dead body. But covering it is not going to be a problem. which means that Beis HaPras is not Metama Ba'oil. And yet Argama over here is saying that because it's Metama Ba'oil, you have to mark it. But over there Shmuel says it doesn't. It doesn't make Tomei Ba'il. V'Rav Yehuda Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula says, Beis HaPras Shenidash Tohar. A Beis HaPras which was trampled by a lot of people is Tohar. Why? Because all the bones are now under the ground. But the question is, it's still oil. Forget about touching. You're not touching it. But L'cheira, there's a din of oil. And yet, it says it's not a problem. Yet our Gemara says it could become Tomei. So the Gemara says like this. Amar HaPapa, HaPapa said there's two types of Beis HaPras. Or the Gemara's going to say three, but now the Gemara's answering two. Kan Besodeh She'oved Bokever. There's two types of Beis HaPras. There's a Beis HaPras where a grave was lost in the field and we don't know where it is. Kan Besodeh She'nechrash Bokever. Another place is speaking when the place was plowed. Meaning like this. Beis HaPras, like we said before, means it's a place with a doubtful tumor. It's a place with a doubtful tumor. So you can have two examples, the Gemara says. One is, there's a field, you know there's a grave there, you don't know where it is. You don't know where the grave is. But the grave is for sure enough to make you tamei ba'oil. Because a full grave is a whole body, it can make you tamei. Over there the din is, you gotta mark it. Why? Because that area, if you walk over the dead body, over the grave, you're gonna become tamei. How did Shmuel say you're allowed to walk through the field and blow away any particles you see? That's not speaking about a field where a grave was lost. It's speaking a field where you know where the grave was and the grave was plowed. And because it's fragmented pieces, it cannot make Tomei Ba'il. Over there, Shmuel says you're allowed to walk. But if it's a field where the grave is lost, then you can't do anything, but you gotta mark it. And the Gemara says, V'sad she'nechrav she'oved b'kever. So the Gemara says, but a field where a grave was lost is called Beis HaPras? Is it called? The Gemara says, yes. And like we learned, but tonight we learned, Shleish Beis HaPrasin. The three categories of Beis HaPras. What are they? Sad she'nechrav b'kever. A field where a grave was lost, sada shenechrash bokever, or a field where a grave was plowed, or stay beichen, a crying field. And the Gemara is right away what a crying field is. Okay, but basically you see from the Gemara like this: there's a din that a person who's eating truma, is not allowed to go into a Beis HaPras. The Gemara says because Truma, you're not allowed to make Tomei, and you cannot become Tomei. So a person who's eating Truma is not allowed to go into a Beis HaPras. Because all these cases are doubtful tumas. So the Mishnah asks, what is a Beis HaPras that you're not allowed to walk into if you need to be Tahor? So the Gemara gives three possibilities of what's called a Beis HaPras. Either a field, there's a grave in there, you don't know where it is. Or a field where you know the grave was, but it was plowed over. Or a wailing field. A crying field. So anyway, just finish this up. So the Gemara says, my stay beichen. What does a crying field mean? Rav Yeshua bar Abba Mishmei De'ula Amar, Sada Shemaftirim Bameisim. It's a field where they take leave of the dead. Meaning like this. In the olden times, they had, each city had their own Chavah Kaddisha. Okay? So if a guy would need to be, died in one city, okay, let's say, these are our modern day cities, a guy was buried, died in LA, and he needed to be buried, let's say, in Simcha Monica. It's a different city. What would they do? The Chevra Kadisha of L.A. would take the body to the last field in L.A. And then the Chevra Kadisha of Monica would come to the last field, and they would take the body to their field, to their city for burial. What's the problem? Everybody's in such a rush. They sometimes forget part of the dead body there. They push it, forget, like he says at the bottom. It's a possibility it became to decompose and loosened limb fell off in that field. So the original owners might not give it over to the other guys. The other guys might forget to take it. Because like decompose, it would fall apart. So therefore, there might be a corpse there, or like another explanation they bring down, that sometimes this happens at night. Because in Israel, you make funerals at night. Halachic says you're supposed to, especially in Yerushalayim. But years ago, they used to make funerals at night.
They do it
also. Certain places they do.
That's halacha.
Because you're not supposed to leave a body lay overnight. In Yerushalayim, it's forbidden. There's two issues. There's not leaving a dead body overnight. And then Yerushalayim is not allowed to have a dead body in it overnight.
The old city or the new city?
The old city. So in Yerushalayim, they tackle it right away. In the middle of the night, they just bury you. The new city is not the din of Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying the old city. I mean, the biblical Yerushalayim, not what they added.
City
of the city. Yeah. So over there, they bury in the middle of the night. So now when it comes in the middle of the night, you can't even see in the field. So again, some limbs could loosen up or whatever, you know, let's not get too gross about it. But therefore, so there's a possibility. There's a dead bone there. Why is it called, by the way, Stei Beichin? Because everybody cries. This group that brought it out and the new group that comes said everybody meets there and cries. So it's called a wailing field. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, these are three definitions of a Beis HaPras. But let's just finish this Gemara. So Gemara says, Taim Amai, why is that a category Beis HaPras? So Amar Avimi, because the owner's abandonment that the Chachamim applied this law. And like we said, like we just said before, because they leave the, sometimes a body part ends up staying there. And the owners forget about it. So therefore, they made that field has a Suffolk tumah. And if it's a Suffolk tumah, you can't go. So therefore, the Gemara's outcome, the conclusion of this whole Gemara is, so far, a field where a grave was plowed, you don't have to mark. Why? That field, you're allowed to walk. As long as when you walk, you watch where you're going, and you blow away any parts of the dead body that you see, you're allowed to go be makri of your carbon pesach, you don't become tummy.
Even a coin?
Even a coin.
How does it blow away?
Blow it away. There's little pieces left. It's not there. Now, if it's a field where you lost a grave, that has to be marked. Or Stei Beichin, this, you know, outlying field, also have to mark. What?
What's a field that you lost a grave?
If you that means it, we know... What it means is, we know one thing is for sure. There's somebody buried in the field, we don't know where.
And
I mean, that's very common, by the way.
And how do you mark it? Or you need to search for it?
Oh, so the Gemara... Did I skip?
Yeah, if there are trees. No, I think it's the continuation.
No, I didn't. I skipped one line before. Before the Gemara said, Kama Isa, how much do you render it? Malay mana mea ama, a first length 100 amas from the grave. In other words, that's by a field that the Gemara thought was plowed. Basically, you have to mark off the whole field. Anywhere where you know for sure.
It was a grave and you cannot find it.
Right. That's the whole story we mentioned it. The famous story when Rashbi came out of the cave after 13 years. Okay? And he came out and he said that because Hashem did a favor for me, I want to do a favor for the city. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says in Shabbos, he came out from the grave, from the cave, and he said, is there anything I could do for this particular city? Because he learned it out from Yaakov, and Yaakov came to Shechem, it says, Vayikan es pnei ha'ir, he made a coin, he did something, he was nice to the people of Shechem, because they did him a favor. So, Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, is there anything I could do for this city? So the people said to him, yeah, there's a certain field in the city, which is a Beis HaPras, exactly this case. There's a lost grave in the field. Nobody knows where it is. So like this, the Kohanim, if they're here, and they want to get there, they have to go all the way around the field instead of going the shortcut. So Rav Shimon Yochai said, is there anybody here that remembers that there was a time that Kohanim would walk in the certain in the field? And there was an old guy, sitting there, and he said, yeah, I remember that Kohanim would walk in this part of the field. You see, this was the whole field. Kohanim would walk in this part of the field. So Rashbi went and marked off that section, okay, and he said, Kohanim are allowed to walk there. Because it's a Suffolk, and this person testified, and by Isurim one witness is believed, he's believed to say that Kohanim walked there. And if he knew Kohanim walked there, that means over here they know for sure was no Tumah. So this old guy said, look at Rashbi, he purifies cemeteries.
Same old guy.
So Shimon Yochai said, Mail, if you didn't see what I did, and you said what you said, okay. But you saw what I did, and you had the chutzpah to say what I said, the guy dropped dead on the spot. Don't stand up with Rashbi, that's for sure. So the guy became the Gemara says Gal Shel Atzamis. He became a heap of bones. So over there, you see Taka, what was the problem? The Kohanim couldn't walk in the field because it was a Beis HaPras. But what was over there the case? It was a field that the grave was lost. And because of that, you can't walk in the field. So what the Gemara is saying, you Taka have to mark off the whole field. The Gemara is not done, by the way, how to mark the. About Beis HaPras, it's not done yet.
And supposedly all these are things that you do on Chol HaMoed, or am I totally out of?
It's interesting. The question was, the question is a good question, because the question is this referring to Bechlal or even Chol HaMoed? Yeah. So the Gemara it says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to mark graves on Chol HaMoed. But here the Gemara is discussing Bechlal, which graves need to be marked. If they need to be marked, obviously you could do it Chol HaMoed. If they don't need to be marked, then you don't have to, you're definitely not allowed to do Chol HaMoed, because you don't need to ever do it. So the Gemara is not discussing now Chol HaMoed, the Gemara is really going into the actual din, what graves or things need to be marked and which things not. So the Gemara says like this, if it's a Vadai Tumah, you don't need to mark it because everybody knows. If it's something that doesn't carry oil, tumah, you also don't have to mark it. Like, if the grave was plowed, then you just have to watch where you're going. You don't need to mark it. But if it's a field that's a base of pras, meaning it was lost, the grave, or the base of bechin, or the branches, or these things, that then you have to mark it. And the Mishnah said you could do a chalameh too. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "V'sada shenachrish v'kevelei boi tzion." The Gemara said a statement before, like we just said, a field where a grave was plowed, you don't need to mark it. So the Gemara says, "No, v'atanya." But we learned in a brayse, "Mots v'sada mitzionis." If you found a marked field, then you do a mativa, and you don't know what type of field it is, meaning you don't know. Is it a lost grave? Or is it a plowed grave? The din is, Yesh bo ilanis, So the Gemara is going to say, you can have a way to figure it out. But even before we go into the Gemara, we see right away a question.
You don't need to mark a plowed grave.
If a plowed, but it says here, how are you supposed to know if it's plowed or lost? That means every field was marked. And the Gemara says, how do you know if it was plowed or marked? But you see, obviously, that it says your plowed grave needs to be marked. And we just got through saying no. But now the Gemara is going to discuss. How do you know if the field was plowed or not? So the Gemara says like this. If there are trees, you know it was plowed. If there is no trees, you know that it wasn't plowed. Why? Because the only reason they plow a grave area is for the trees to grow. So obviously, if there's trees there, you can assume that the field was plowed. That means the grave was plowed. If there's no trees, then obviously you know, why is it marked? Not because a grave was plowed, because nobody plowed such a field. It's plowed because it was not. It was marked because there's a lost grave in the field. Mar says, "Yash bo ilanis, if there's trees in the field, biyodur shenachosh bo kavi, you know the grave was plowed. Ein bo ilanis, biyodur she'avid bo kavi." Mar gives a very simple sign. If there are trees, we assume it was plowed. If there are no trees, we assume it wasn't plowed. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, no, trees are not good enough. Achia Zokin Ne Talmud, you need an old man or a Torah student to testify that it was plowed. That means, what's the difference? Because we said before, if a field's plowed, you can walk there as long as you watch where you're walking and blow away the pieces. So the Gemara says, how can you know walking into the field if I can walk there or not? So the first opinion says, if there are trees, you know it's plowed. If it's plowed, you're allowed to walk in there. But you have to watch where you're walking. If there's no trees, then it wasn't plowed, then you can't walk anywhere. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not enough of a proof. You need a witness to testify that it was plowed. Why? She'ein akel b'kiyim b'davar, because not everybody is experts in this to know. Meaning, so what's the question, Lapel, from here? We have to say the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question was like we said. That means, oh, but even that was marked. All graves were marked, whether it was plowed or lost, it was marked.
It loses the point of marking.
Right. No, what do you mean it loses the place of...
I mean, I think the point of marking is to tell you if you can walk there or not. If they're marking it, whether you...
Yeah, but the Gemara said before, a field that the grave was plowed, you don't need to mark. So how can the din say, I walk into a field that's marked, I don't know if it's graved, lost, or grave plowed.
If there's trees.
If there's trees. But if it wasn't, if it's a plowed grave, why did it have to be marked? That means it is marked. But we just got through saying a plowed grave is not marked.
Yeah, I mean, and one way doesn't even make sense. The way the Bryce doesn't make sense. Why are they marking it if you don't know what the mark means?
Well, the mark, they understood what it was. The mark was a tumor mark.
Right, but Bryce the process is not tumor. Wait, because you can't bring tumor there.
Right.
Okay.
You have to understand. For us, in a practical sense, this Gemara is not relevant today, in Halacha. In the time of the Gemara, it was extremely relevant.
What happens when a Beis Mikdash shows up?
When it shows up, what are you going to worry about?
Then it'll be effective, right?
Yeah, all this will be effective. But then, nobody's going to die, so there won't be any more Tumah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's in New York, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Sigmar.
If somebody dies in Yerushalayim, they don't have time to do it the same night, so they take him out of Yerushalayim and bring him back days later.
What do you mean they don't have time?
Same, let's say. People from Chutz La'aretz have to come. And
they don't wait. No, it's just not they don't wait for nobody.
Everybody arranges everything on the same half a day?
Sometimes it is an only son. Some days away, but then.
If people get killed in those bombers, people are buried that day, right?
Should have buried that day.
If people get killed in super life, buried that day. So I think in general,
okay. Now, so Gemara answers, Amar Papa, Kitanya he, when does the Braisa say, you're right, really it doesn't have to be marked. The Braisa says it was marked, we just don't know how to figure out which one. He said, it's speaking a field where a grave was lost, so they marked it. So now, a person needs to know, was it ever plowed afterwards or not? In other words, like this. The reason why the field was marked, because it was a lost grave in the field. But now, afterwards, the whole field became plowed. So now the question, the marker is still there. So now the question is, can the guy walk in the field or not? The Gemara thought, you marked it right away as soon as the field was plowed. So Gemara says, no, that's not what happened. There was a lost grave in the field. Because of that, you had to mark it. Okay? But afterwards, that grave became plowed. But we don't know where the grave is. So the Gemara says, how can you know if it's plowed? Because if that grave was plowed, now you could walk in the field. As long as you watch where you're walking. So how are you going to know if it was plowed or not? So the Gemara says, if there was trees, it's plowed. If there were no trees, it wasn't plowed. That's the assumption. So Gemara says, Yesh bo ilan is biyadur shenachash bo kaved. Now we know for sure the graves were there, plowed. Ein bo ilan is, if there was no trees, then we know the grave is still intact. Because people don't plow empty fields for no reason. If there's trees there, they plow them for the tree, or they plant things to grow. I mean, if there's an empty field, nobody's going to plow a field. So the Gemara asks, Velechush, okay, Velechush, let's be afraid, Dilme Ilonis Migavoi, Vekevim Mibroi. Maybe the trees are the inside, and the grave is on the outside. That means, if you have a field, okay, and we don't, there's a grave somewhere in the field. But we don't know if it was plowed or not. So the din is, if there's trees, it was plowed. If there were no trees, it wasn't plowed. So the Gemara says, but maybe the trees are inside the field, and the grave is on the outside of the field. That means the area around the trees were plowed, but the grave wasn't plowed. If this table is a field, and the soda bottles are trees, so maybe that area was plowed, but maybe the grave is here, that's lost, and maybe this area wasn't plowed. So how can you say just because there's trees, it automatically means it was plowed? Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't plowed. So Gemara says, Kedamer Ula, it's speaking by Emdem ala Gvulim. By a different case, Ula answers, the trees are on the boundary of the field. Therefore, Hachanami, the same way they're standing on the boundary. So the Gemara says, but maybe Tumah Migavoy V'Ilanis Mibroi. Okay, so now maybe the Tumah is all the way inside the field, and the trees are only on the outside of the field. So again, maybe the grave wasn't plowed. So the Gemara answers, B'Mesuchin, it's speaking trees are all over the field. If trees are all over the field, the assumption is the whole field is plowed. Huh? And then the Gemara says, "V'boy seimar." Another answer is like this: Ha'amadim. We just got through saying, "A mechi can see a mimakum tuma shle lahafzir eseret yisrael." You don't make the markers too far away. So if the marker is there, you can assume the tuma is near. So speaking, the marker is near the trees. That means the dead body is near the tree. Because otherwise you couldn't put the marker that far away. So this is the Gemara's answer. Okay.